Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can I talk football here for a minute? Let's talk Bears, okay?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt has guided his Bears to the playoffs, and he knows what it takes to succeed.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wannstedt, there's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A superb game plan defensively by the Miami Hurricanes.
The party has begun in Miami.
Super Bowl champion.
They swarmed to the ball so incredibly. This speed-burning defense, number one in the NFL. Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator.
Football analyst for Fox Sports and NBC Sports Chicago.
Coach, are you kidding me?
Dave Wannstedt.
Dave Wannstedt with the mustache. Looks like Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh coach, a little bit, doesn't he?
And Ditka likes him. What kind of a guy is this, right?
With McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Where the Hour is brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on four tires installed at CarX. We are McNeil and Parkins. Dave Wannstedt joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. He will be there, of course, momentarily as he throws his Lucy app into the water and looks for Mike Ditka's plane.
He figured it out the other day. I heard him Tuesday morning, and I said to Tanny, because we were pulling a soundbite from it, I said, either he's back in town or somebody has trained him on the Lucy app, because it was as clean as a whistle. I think he's back to where he was the last time we tried to get him on the Lucy app. He's not.
You just wasted 10 seconds of airtime saying that.
And that was a perfect place for it, right then and there.
Dave, did you throw the app into the water yet? How you doing, Coach?
I am great. Did I throw what into the water?
That Lucy app. That the phone, because of the Lucy app. Are you struggling figuring that sucker out?
You know what? I am not struggling. It's Lucy's having a problem. It's not me.
Well, what's she doing?
She's not doing anything in the bottom of the pool. I'll tell you that. She's trying.
.com/Dave. .com/. Dave.
There we go.
So anyway, good to have you. Yeah, let's tee it up. Let's. Matt LaFleur addressed questions yesterday in Green Bay, and he was strikingly candid about how upset he was. First with himself, but he also lit up his defense as much as anything, and I kind of understand why, although it's unique for a coach to do it publicly after a thrashing like that. But did you had the Packers going to the Super Bowl, so I would suspect you were surprised by how easily San Francisco whipped their defense.
Yes, and you know what was most disappointing to me watching that game? You know what it looked like when the Bears beat the Cowboys that Thursday night game? I remember doing a show there or two in Chicago, and I went through that game tape again. And when Miller caught his little screen pass and ran into the end zone, and Montgomery made a couple runs, the Cowboys, they did not want to tackle anybody for whatever reason. It was horrible. That was the same feeling that I had watching the Packers defense. I mean, they had opportunities to make some plays, and they were all wait. It was the old attitude. I'll wait and let somebody else do it. And when a team runs the ball on you, it's a total defensive, embarrassment. And that's what that was. I mean, I would have gone through three projectors if I was watching that tape the next day with my defensive guys. I'm serious now, guys, because that was just fundamentally bad effort tackling and wanting to get to the ball and make a tackle.
What makes the Niners running game so tough to coach against, though, or scheme against? Because it doesn't, at least with their running backs, they aren't special talents.
Well, no, but you know what? They, I may have mentioned this a little bit last week. You know, when the one back offense first came out, it was new. and a preparation standpoint, you felt like you really didn't get a handle on it. You know, San Francisco's offense, I mean, they'll use – at one point they had three tight ends and a fullback in the game, okay? I mean, they'll use two tight ends and a fullback a lot. And those formations are foreign to a lot of teams. And for them to practice on it, it works good in a walkthrough. But when you're lining up and you've got to have the right gap fits and you've got to be who's containing and who's spilling the ball, it's a little bit different. And, you know, I think they have a real advantage to that. And then here's the thing. San Francisco does, you know, up 3 weeks ago, they did more motion than anybody in the National Football League. And every motion that San Francisco does and every running play, they have a play action pass to a tight end fullback receiver that looks identical to that run. So now you line up and you're saying, yeah, it's a running play, but in the back of your mind, you know that it could be a play action pass too. So they put a lot of stress on a defense and then they execute it well. They do it over and over and over again. And I give Kyle Shanahan, you talk about a guy that's come a long way. And when we talk about Matt Nagy and, you know, how he's growing as a head coach. I mean, Fox had the Super Bowl when New England came back and beat Atlanta. And Kyle Shanahan was the head coach. He was the offensive coordinator, Atlanta Falcons. And they had the ball, you know, going in at the 22-yard line. And they drop back the pass and they get a sack fumble. Mm-hmm. And they end up losing the game, okay? It should have been over. And he mentioned that this week that he has grown and now he truly understands the importance of the running game. And that's evident to me. I mean, he did not get bored. You know, I use that expression all the time. Coaches get bored. Oh, we're running it. We're running it. You look at the stat sheet. Somebody leans over to you and says, we've only thrown the ball six times so far. You know, and half of these guys, they say, oh, we better throw it then. Well, he didn't, and he's done that two playoff games in a row. I give him a lot of credit. The guy has really learned a lot and grown a lot, you know, in his short tenure here.
How much of an advantage is it for the Kansas City staff to have this extra week before they get to Miami to try and find out some way to solve that San Francisco run game?
No, it will be. It'll be, that for sure will be, but you know what, though, guys, you better be doing it this week because you're not going to get a whole lot done next week. I mean, I went through that myself personally, and we had all of our work done the week before because we were scared to death when we got to the site of the Super Bowl and everything that's going on down there. You're practicing and you're going through stuff. But boy, it's not with the same focus. I don't care. I don't care who you are or where you're at, and so it will be an advantage. You know, we're going to find out what team has been able to focus the most and deal with this, and it should be a great matchup. I mean, if I had to pick the thing, I mean, I kind of like. Here's my synopsis. I look at Kansas City. You mentioned them, Mac, and the best player on the field is Patrick Mahomes, right? And we used to use the expression, you guys heard me talk about it. Number one, he's the quarterback, so he's going to touch the ball more than anybody else. And he does things you don't coach. I remember sitting in that draft room, my first draft with Jimmy Johnson, and we would say, boy, this guy, coach, he is really, he can do this. And he can, you know, he one step, two step, three step. And Jimmy said, forget about that. Let's get these, forget the one-step, two-step crap. He says, let's get some guys that do things that we don't have to coach. They're the ones that in big games are going to make plays for you. And that's Patrick Mahomes.
We're talking to Dave Wannstedt here, McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Earlier, we were talking about Pat Mahomes' coach, Andy Reid, and his Hall of Fame chances. Do you think Andy Reid's a Hall of Famer if he doesn't get a Super Bowl?
Well, I always thought that was the prerequisite for getting in, but obviously you see Marv Levy, you see a lot of coaches that are in because of their wins and the careers that they had. Andy's been as good as anybody. He's steady. I'd like to see Andy get in. I mean, he's a friend, you know. But as far as what the criteria is, as far as to get into the Super Bowl, I don't know. I mean, where do you draw the line? Is it wins? Is it longevity? I mean, the big rap against Jimmy Johnson for years was that he didn't coach in the NFL long enough, even though he built the Dallas Cowboys and won two Super Bowls and could have very easily won three. So, you know, I would expect Andy to get in either way. I really would.
I'm a yes vote, but conditionally, Dave, Mike Holmgren needs to get there first. He's 1-2 in Super Bowl play. He's got a long list of guys who grew up who've gone on to win Super Bowls, and that list would include Andy Reid if he gets this thing next Sunday. That's the big injustice for me as far as the coaches. Shanahan 1-2. He's not in there, but when Mike Holmgren gets in, then I say, what do you think about Mike Holmgren and why he's not in there?
Yeah, I thought that Mike would get in before Cowher. I really did. You know, but then again, I thought that Jimmy Johnson would get in before Tony Dungy. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I guess it comes down to voting and who's speaking up for you. I know this year that Jimmy had, without getting into names, that he had some very influential people standing on the table for him. And it wasn't just the coaching, but, hey, he put the Dallas Cowboys back on the map. And, you know, from a personnel standpoint and a trade standpoint. So, you know, Jimmy was more than deserving in my mind. And, how they do it, again, it's voting and it's a closed ballot, a secret ballot. You don't know who's voting for who until it's all over.
Dave, the guys make fun of me for how much of a fan I am of the Andy Reid coaching tree and how there have been times in the last couple of years that 8 of the 32 coaches were either Andy Reid or an assistant of his. So 25% of the league had coached under Andy Reid. And then you look at a guy like Bill Belichick and his coaching tree. He doesn't have guys who coached under him who are successful elsewhere, whereas Andy Reid, seemingly everyone who coaches under him is successful elsewhere. We'll obviously see if that works out for Matt Nagy. Why do you think one great coach has almost no one who's been successful elsewhere, and another great coach, seemingly everyone is successful elsewhere?
Well, they all have a winning formula, right? They know how they did it, but I've always believed this. You know, there was a lot of coaches that, you know, tried to be Vince Lombardi, and I think that Andy's personality leads you to not, you know, you don't need to be Andy Reid. Andy's a good guy, a good person. But I think a lot of guys want to be Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? The mysterious Bill Belichick, the hard-nosed Bill Belichick. And I think that if coaches would be themselves, take the winning formula, this is how we draft, this is how we practice, this is the mentality on how we met with the players, what all that stuff that was good for you, and then be your own guy, I think that coaches would be more successful. You know, rather than trying to take a job and not only take that information, but try to be the personality of the guy that you left.
Dave, I want to ask you about a player or two, and we'll have time to do this again next week when we get closer to Super Bowl 54. But I've been very impressed, as anybody who's watched lately, with Nick Bosa of the 49ers. He's just a 22-year-old kid, yet he is playing like a veteran, first-year guy. What do you like about him, and have you ever had a first-year player play like he has with that much poise and that aggressively?
Well, I think, number one, the scheme that they use gives him a chance. And, you know, the old expression, you've heard me say it, you know, clear mind, fast feet, cloudy mind, slow feet. Well, they play fast on defense, and they don't do much, particularly up front. I mean, they are, you know, four guys with their hands on the ground. Let's get after the passer. Let's play the run as we're moving. They're one of the least blitzing teams in the NFL. They're not a big blitz team. So I think that the coaches here have done a nice job of keeping it simple enough. So, as I said, his mind can be clear and he can play with his athletic ability. And then the kid obviously got a lot of talent, and he's surrounded by guys. What are they? Like two or three of those guys are first-round picks. So, I mean, he's playing the Buckner guy. I mean, he's as good a defensive tackle as there is in the league, the way he's playing this year, and you got him playing next year. you know, that's going to create a lot of opportunities, and now you got to take advantage of it, and he's done it.
Who's the rookie who impressed you the most as his coordinator or head coach?
You know what? As a rookie player, you know who I was a big fan of coming out? The Bush kid that's playing for the Steelers. You know, the linebacker. You're talking about any team, right?
Yeah,
any team.
Sure.
I thought he had as much of an impact on that Steeler defense, which is really young, and I thought that they, if they would have had any type of offense, they would have been a playoff team. I mean, any type of offense. We all saw them play all year. And I think that Bush kid, he can play the run, he can play the pass, he's an every down player, and the guy makes plays. I would probably give my vote to him, to be quite honest with you.
Dave, the Super Bowl's on Fox. What are your obligations? Where are we going to see you over the next week?
Well, we're going to talk next week, and I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'll be down there on Tuesday. I'll be doing some stuff Thursday, but I look forward to being on with you guys live right from the site. And we're going to do a pregame show. I'm not 100% sure what time. We'll kick the thing off, our Sunday kickoff show, myself, Tony Gonzalez, Carissa Thompson, Michael Vick. We'll have a show, hour or so. Jimmy and them will take it up to kickoff. And then Terry and Jimmy and them will come on right after the game, clean up the trophy ceremony, all that. And then we'll pick it up from those guys for another hour. So I'll be on in the beginning. At the end, we'll have a couple shows. And then we've got a lot of stuff going on during the week, obviously. So it'll be good. It's going to be a nice one for me getting back to Miami. You know, I mean, between the Hurricanes and the Dolphins, I coached in that city for 10 years. So I've got I got all the trouble that I can get into, you know?
That's beautiful.
If Fox is smart, they will ask you to sing again.
You know what? They will not. Terry Bradshaw brought that up, and they talked about it once on the air. So I think it's a dead issue. Till next year. I'm looking forward to next year.
Should happen again, Dave. We'll make it happen.
No, Dave, you going to watch the Pro Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, you know what? I will. I don't have a whole lot going on Sunday, so yeah. I'm not a big fan of the Pro Bowl. I'll be honest with you guys, not a big fan of it. But I'll probably tune it in a little bit. But no, I'm looking forward to getting down there. Hopefully, we'll get over to practice a little bit and see the teams stuff going on during the week. So it'll be a good one, and it should be as good a game as what we've had at least what everyone's talking now. The hype of the game should be a fantastic Super Bowl.
Dave, I almost forgot. My son was born last Friday, so I'm a father now. Do you have any advice on how to be a good dad?
Wow, how about that? What would you wrap him in? A Clemson blanket? You know, has he got his Clemson? You got him in a little tiger warm-up suit or something, you know?
Yeah, he's a little small now, but we got a onesie for him. We got a little Clemson paw for him, so he'll be in it soon.
Well, you've got a problem because you've got the afternoon show, so there's no excuses for you of telling your wife what's your son's first name?
Owen.
Okay, there's no excuse for you telling your wife, hey, Owen's crying, and you know, you can't help out, because you know that was easy when you're leaving the house at 5 o'clock in the morning. I was gone. I avoided that duty, but you're trapped. You can't get out of that.
He'll figure out a way.
I got to get another job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I do have some fatherly advice for you. We're not going to get into it now, but we will talk about it. Absolutely, I will.
Okay.
All right,
looking forward
Dave.
To it, Dave.
Have a nice glass of red wine and a cigar for us. All right. Enjoy Florida.
I will. And congratulations on that, on Owen. That's fantastic. Happy for you, Danny.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that very much. Thank you, sir. That is Dave Wanstead with us. He'll talk to him again next week from Miami.
Yeah, he's getting there Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I like that Bush kid. He can say anything.
I'll be on at the beginning. I'll be on at the end. There'll be a game in between.
Jimmy, it'll Terry, and Howie.
They'll wrap it up with a trophy. It'll be fine.
No.
I coached there for years. We know. That's why we asked.
I'll be area Matt. Touch them all. Owen.com.
It's incredible. There was a story that people that was circulating that people kept saying that I would be guilty of this. It was a North Shore criminal that they said it easily could have been me if a few things would have taken a poor turn.
Yeah.
And so I want to get into this story, but also share some other criminal stories from my upbringing on the North Shore. Not resulting with me, but people that I knew. I think they all fit a similar pattern that I think you can guess.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Coming up on the Score.
Where are you from? Are you from Chicago?
Yes.
Where from?
I went to New Trier, but born in the city.
New Trier. Fancy, fancy.
The lovely Kay Adams on Good Morning Football was
fancy
with
Nancy.
The show last year. Yes, you
yeah.
are fancy pants. She's a Whitney Young graduate.
Yeah, so she knows a little something about fancy pants, but take that how you will. But yeah, so
remind me to get back to that a little bit later on.
Okay, I will do that. Although, will it get us in trouble? It sounds like it might.
No, it won't.
Oh, okay.
Not at all.
All right, good. Good.
It's football juice, mister.
Wasn't sure where your mind was there, but there's a story that everyone kept sending me over the last 24, 36 hours, and I guess my reputation precedes myself, because New Trier High School graduate Robert Gorodetsky made a name for himself as a maverick in the Las Vegas sports betting scene, a brash 20-something with a seemingly bottomless bankroll and the guts to lay it all on the line. With his custom cap stenciled the word gambler, high-end watches and luxury cars, blah, 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 blah. $10 million swindled and embezzled.
Mm-hmm.
Through a gambling scheme. New Trier kid, fraud, 27 years old, charged Tuesday, U.S. District Court in Chicago, a massive fraud scheme against a single victim who invested millions of dollars in the belief that the funds were wisely invested and earning handsome dividends. So, gambler, degenerate, living above his means.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you grew up where I grew up, among the rich and famous and the privileged, sometimes you would laugh at like the Glencoe News police blotter.
I can imagine.
You know what
a lot of Charles Grodin characters from Midnight Run there, I would bet.
Yeah, you know, it was like a hood ornament on Jaguar vandalized. And it was like this is just embarrassing. Like we live in Pleasantville. Like that makes the papers like serial ding dong ditcher caught. Like it's completely ridiculous. But I was thinking, there were two other stories from kids who I actually went to school with. This kid's obviously 6-7 years younger than me, so I'm not familiar with the $10 million embezzlement gambler's work.
Mm-hmm.
But I have two other ones from kids who I did go to school with, and I have some of their news stories that I pulled up. One funnier than the other, but both in the same genre. I'll give you the one that's more morally objectionable first.
Winnetka resident Clayton Cohn, a U.S. There you go.
I was a Boris and Bernstein guy.
A U.S. Marine Corps veteran was shut down by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Cohn allegedly participated in a hedge fund fraud that targeted current and former military service members. Cohn raised around $1.78 million from 24 investors while lying about the fund's performance and trading success. Court documents filed showed that Cohn actually spent the investors' money living the high life, including investing in a 3D adult film production company, a t-shirt design company, and a hair extension sales company. I went to Hebrew school with this kid.
Did you touch his biscuits?
I did not. So this kid ends up in the Marine, steals money from men and women in the service, claiming to be a hedge fund investor, spends their money on 3D porn, went to prison.
Wow.
Terrible. $400,000 on personal items, $10,000 a month for an L.A. mansion, a luxury sports car, gambling, and racking up extravagant tabs at various high-end nightclubs.
I'm flashing immediately to the character Bad Brad in Molly's Game, who had the Ponzi scheme going, and he was playing. He was losing his ass to the poker players just to get to know him so they'd like him,
right,
and they would invest in his false hedge fund. He had $700 in his checking account when he finally got caught.
It's crazy. When you're around people with money, the funny money, like money on paper, you're rich on paper, but there's nothing to actually show for it. So, yeah, this guy fooled members of the military, as morally bankrupt as you could be, so he could go to L.A. nightclubs, buy himself a house.
Yeah, that's bad, but, I mean, robbing charities, too. I mean,
that's pretty bad.
Militaries, but charities even worse.
All right, so we've got the guy who robbed people on the North Shore to fund his gambling lifestyle. We got the guy on the North Shore who robbed members of the military so he could invest in a 3D porn company who I went to Hebrew school with. And now the other one from my time in high school. A Lincolnshire restaurant manager is facing identity theft and money laundering charges after suburban Chicago police say he stole $50,000 to pay for more than one dozen trips to Disney World. He had a Disney addiction, folks.
Oh, no.
More than 15 different reservations at Walt Disney World resorts in 5 months. He took at least two Disney cruises earlier this year.
I can't stop. I gotta have Mickey. I gotta.
The station reports the initial tip came from authorities in Florida, where Para allegedly paid for Disney trips with prepaid cards purchased with stolen ones. So he would take down people who paid for tabs at the restaurant that he worked at, and then he would steal their identity and book himself trips to Disney. 15 trips to Disney World in 4 months.
Boy, I question his judgment on all levels.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
But so these are the criminals that I grew up around in my midst.
He has a Disney addiction. That's
so when you're like, how can partners not assemble baby furniture? This is how. This is the street smarts that I was exposed to as a kid. It's pathetic. Yeah. I'm embarrassed of where I'm from.
Well, at least where you're from, there's something to be gained if you get away with it. Not that that makes it right. I'm not trying to justify any of this. I mean, where Shep and I are from, God, you get a bolt cutter and you break into a shed behind the Jewel and steal pop bottles. One of the kids has a station wagon and you load it up with pop bottles and you take it to three or four different stores to return them and you could buy a bag of weed and a pizza.
That's not bad.
That's about it.
That was the level of your Ponzi scheme?
That was the level of our abilities, yes.
Yeah, you didn't have access to the two comma money? Yeah.
Never heard of a hedge fund. Right. No idea.
The Pop Warner football team, I guess, on the board there was embezzling money. The treasurer was embezzling money and paying for, I don't know what they were paying for, but taking it themselves of, all right, supposed to go to fund the football field, fund youth football and all the kids, and screw you, I'm taking my money and leaving.
Yep.
Was this not good town?
That's a simple crime. That is the definition of a simple crime.
Is the restaurateur, the former restaurateur, a father? What in the world would somebody?
I don't know. I assume not.
Why would you go to Disney World 15 times? What could a grown up possibly find there?
Well, he's
furries.
15 times.
Did you say furries?
I'm just asking.
Yeah, it's possible.
There's a market for that, going back to our searches.
Yeah, I don't know, but I never heard of a Disney. I never heard of a Disney edition.
As many texters have suggested, that's just goofy.
Yeah, sorry, Peoria, Matt. You weren't the only one with that one. So those were...
another Winnetkite.
Right. Yes.
No, I'm sorry, Glencoeian, right? Glencoe or Winnetka? Did he have a house in both? I'm not sure.
It's so big, it spanned both of them. Yeah. Lake Forest? I don't remember exactly. But yeah, it's the... So who's your favorite North Shore criminal there? The gambler, the 3D porn investor who swindled money from the military investors, or the guy...
Oh, I can't pick a favorite among those.
Or the Disney World addiction.
I think the Disney World guy is the one I want to kick in the newts the most.
Yeah. Well, see, to me, the one that's the most morally bankrupt is not the...
The military guy who robbed members of our armed services.
Yeah,
yes.
You steal from 24 people to get $1.78 million so you can live in a $10,000 a month mansion. You're just a jackass.
Yeah. There's other words for it. Can't use them right now.
Yeah, that's all. He went
to, dude.
Yeah, dude from earlier. Went to prison for quite a while. I think he's still there, actually. So, great place for him.
Yeah, just petty theft is about all I can remember. Anybody, you friends with some of the guy you went to Hebrew school with? Did you wind up running mates?
We were friends back in the day, but I mean, not
any idea he was capable of this. Did you see it?
Obviously not. No, I mean,
what would you have done if you did? Obviously not. I would have had an intervention.
I mean, the guy went to the Marines. He was much tougher than me. So yeah, we were fell out of touch after I don't know. 7th, 8th grade, somewhere around there, but he ended up doing these sort of things. But yeah, the only trouble I got into, I stole pizza Lunchables in 4th grade at a lunch.
Penny theft. Yeah.
TPing, ding-dong ditching.
And, you know, the older I got, the more appalling that was to me, but it didn't seem wrong when I was a teen or in my early 20s when I was broke.
No, yeah, you look back on it and you're like, I did what?
Yeah.
I just would ring people's doorbell at dinner and run away.
Well, you know, I'm debating whether I should say anybody who trusts.
Pause. It's a new Dan McNeil.
Anybody who trusts somebody about whom they are uncertain, somebody without bona fide credentials, deserves what he gets.
No, to a large degree.
To a large degree.
See,
wouldn't you investigate what this guy is all about? You know. If he's looking for an investment company with a good reputation and you go see him at his office, you know, okay, he's with Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, whatever. You pick an investment firm, you know it's on the up and up. Some guy just operating out of his restaurant or some guy just operating on his own claiming to be a fund manager, I'd need more body of evidence. Otherwise, you wind up... You wind up broke.
Yeah, but you've got financial literacy. So, I mean, if you're a member of the military and a guy who was in your squadron or platoon or whatever your class says, hey, I'm having all sorts of success with my hedge fund. Here's my fake earnings sheets. I made 24% last quarter. Invest. You trust him. He's a member of the Corps. That's just a morally bankrupt dude who manipulated people who didn't know any better.
It is.
So, yeah.
Is he incarcerated at this time?
Yes.
All these guys, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
3 for 3. I only know 2 of the 3.
They're in those correctional facilities where you get tennis every day, though, right?
I don't know. One of them got...
Yeah, minimum security prisons, no picnic.
It's too easy. Too easy.
They got Ben and Jerry's ice cream there. I can't get through a day without quoting the town.
I don't want you to.
I can't.
I don't want
Sorry.
You to. Mac, we got
that's my addiction.
that's a relatively good one to have.
Yeah, it's healthier than some others.
What day? You got a prize over there we're giving away in the 5 o'clock hour.
Oh,
you should be teasing this. You said you were going to handle this today.
I said I was going to. Haven't had a chance yet. We are going to be giving away Roger Waters tickets today. So for all of you Floydians out there, Pink Floyd fans, be listening during the 5 o'clock hour. Roger Waters tickets. If you haven't seen Roger Waters or Pink Floyd, you're missing out all on the best that life has to offer. It's going to be a great show. Where's it at?
Tickets laying around. Let me know.
Is that at Midwest? Our Hollywood Casino amphitheater?
United Center.
I don't have it.
Oh, he didn't give you the sheet?
No, I don't have it.
We're a well-oiled machine around here. So it's at the United Center. Caller number 10 on the Scores Contest line right now at 312-591-6700. You win an MVP haircut experience from Sport Clips.
They throw the prices.
Cut the way.
It's slippery over there.
Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in. So you get the haircut right now. Shot at $1,000 coming up in 5 minutes. The Roger Waters tickets in the 5 o'clock hour. We have some audio from Rick Hahn that Sox fans absolutely will want to hear. But the Cubs try to explain what exactly is going to happen with Marquis next on the Score.
But our promise for the next 10 years is to continue to have the best relationship with our fans of any sport in the world, any professional sports team in the world. And that starts with the Marquis Network. The Marquis Network. What do you have against the Marquis Network? Believe me, you won't be booing about that in a year.
Tom Ricketts at Cubs Convention. Bottom of the hour was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Do you want to sign a one-day contract with the Wolves that comes with a $5,000 signing bonus? Go to chicagowolves.com/sprint to learn how to win Sprint Power Play Payday. This segment brought to you by your Chicagoland Papa John's. The new extra cheesy Alfredo pizza from Papa John's has all the craveable and flavorable goodness you want from a pizza. Extra cheese in a three cheese blend with Alfredo sauce and garlic parmesan crust. Try it for just $10 today. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. And
sauce.
It's time. Best. It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the Score. This hour's keyword is time. Text TIME, T-I-M-E, to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is TIME to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
TIME is one of my favorite Pink Floyd songs. We have Roger Waters tickets to give away next hour.
So Crane Kenny was on, president of business operations, for the Chicago Cubs. He's on with Mully and Haw this morning, and obviously, when the owner of the Cubs gets booed at Cubs convention as it relates to the brand sparkling new television network that hasn't even launched yet, there's going to be some element of damage control that they're going to try to do, because a lot of people don't understand this. How much am I going to pay? Am I not going to be able to watch if I'm a part of the biggest cable provider in Chicago, Xfinity? That hasn't been agreed upon yet. What is going to happen? So Crane Kenny, whose job is to speak to these sort of things, went on Mully and Haw and was asked the question, what is the state of a deal or no deal between Marquee, the Cubs, and Xfinity?
Yeah, we think we'll get it done. We wish they had gone first. Instead, DirecTV went first in picking us up, which was a nice accomplishment. One, because DirecTV is available in every part of our region. So, you know, Major League Baseball defines your home television territory. So the league draws a map and says the Cubs can broadcast in this region, which in our case is largely, you know, all of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and a little bit of Michigan and Wisconsin. And that's the footprint where we can broadcast. You know, certain cable carriers, like we announced at the convention, there are 22 smaller carriers that have just picked up Marquee. They're only available in certain regions, so maybe in the, you know, Quad Cities area, but not downstate and not Chicago. The nice thing about DirecTV is it's the entire region, so everybody in the region can get the network if they subscribe to DirecTV. And then AT&T and Mediacom and Charter came on, and then we had 22 others. So Comcast is the biggest domino. They've got half the market, and we've had good conversations with them. What's important for me is the terms that have been accepted by the 25 carriers are the very same terms we're offering to Comcast. And so our negotiation is pretty simple. It's, listen, these terms are acceptable kind of to the marketplace, and we hope you'll carry it, you know, on the same terms, and certainly no higher hurdle than anyone else has had to climb. And so we think it'll get done. We know they love sports. Dish is a little different. You know, Dish did not pick up NBC Sportsnet, so the Bulls and Blackhawks not available on Dish right now. And Charlie Ergen, who runs that company, has a little different look right now at the sports landscape. But Comcast picked up, you know, the Bulls and Blackhawks and White Sox, and they certainly know the importance of the Cubs, because last year, you know, we were with NBC Sportsnet, and actually the Cubs represented 50% of the rating points. So if you looked at all of the games, the four teams, and divided them by team, half of the rating points belonged to one team, and that was the Cubs. So they know the importance of the team. They're really smart. They're really good people at Comcast. I know, you know, I was on the board with them for 15 years. And they'll, I think they do the right thing at the end of the day, given the terms are as advantageous to them as they are to anyone else.
Why do you think they're not biting then?
Well, I mean, I think everyone goes at their own pace. It's really just a question of when for me. We haven't, you know, we're not on the air. So, you know, a Comcast subscriber is not missing anything today. And listen, negotiations, everyone has a different pace. I think DirecTV wanted to get out of the gate first, being the second largest provider of cable distribution in the marketplace, and make a statement, hey, we have the Cubs. Comcast, you know, decided not to go first, and, you know, everybody has a different strategy. And you've seen these things wind down to the, you know, down to the finish line before, where they, you know, some of them get done the day before, where the negotiating teams think they have the most leverage if they wait. Others think that they have an advantage by getting out early and calming the market and telling folks, you know, don't worry, DirecTV subscribers, we will have the Cubs. What is interesting, I go into Xfinity stores and occasionally have called my Comcast provider and I said, listen, what, you know, I don't tell them who I am. I said, what are you going to do with the Cubs? And I'm assured every time I talk to them, so far 3 for 3, oh no, we'll have the Cubs. So they are telling their subscribers they're going to have the network, but we'll see when it gets done.
A little undercover work. That's great.
Well, that is a That's slick funny. Way to go about it.
Because you guys think you're going to have this Cubs thing ready to go by opening day? Because, oh, yeah, we'll have it for you, sir. Okay.
Yeah, well, because if you're calling the customer service line as a Comcast subscriber asking if you're going to have the Cubs and they say no, they're worried that the next thing is, well, then I want to cancel my service.
I'm encouraged by the fact he's encouraged, optimistic.
It's the only position he should take publicly, right? Like, if he was worried, he shouldn't take the other approach, you wouldn't think.
Yeah, but if the other party in the negotiation were being completely unreasonable, I don't think he would give people false hope. I would hope he wouldn't anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I'm saying that there's a scenario that you could see where it's like, hey, this isn't on us. We're being reasonable. We've set this price.
Yeah,
everybody else has agreed to it.
Distributors are on board. We're there.
So Comcast, Xfinity customers, call your cable provider. Start putting the pressure on. Like, you saw that. We saw that with NBC Sports Chicago towards Dish when Dish dropped them and they tried to flood the market. So, like, he's not there yet, which means that he doesn't want to ruffle those feathers in negotiations. At least that's how I would read it.
Mm-hmm.
I still maintain I will be surprised, given the magnitude of local ratings that the Cubs bring, both in radio and TV, just the value of its media property.
Right.
I would be shocked. Like, I would say shocked if the biggest cable provider in this city doesn't have their channel on their sports tier. I'll be shocked.
Yeah, as you said yesterday or recently, that would be one of the biggest sports media stories in ages if the season opens and
it'd be crazy.
There's no Cubs for Chicagoland for a lot of customers.
And
I wonder how much grief Dishnet is taking for not having the Bulls and Blackhawks. I don't think I've seen one text since those seasons started from listeners saying, hey, what the hell's going on with Dish Network? I can't get my Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, if people care enough, they switch, and if they don't care, they don't. And obviously that's a smaller provider, right? They're not as big of a satellite provider as DirecTV and all that. But yeah, the thing too about, just to be totally candid, even though, you know, we're on the home of the Cubs and all of that, but to be totally candid, if it doesn't get worked out with a deal, no one's gonna really care about, was it the Cubs and Marquee or Xfinity, Comcast, who was being greedy? All people will care about is that the games are not on TV and a deal wasn't done. Like, the blame will go around to everybody, in my opinion. Like, they're not gonna be able to point their fingers at the cable provider and say, hey, it's on them. I don't think that Cubs fans are gonna go for that.
If I were a Cubs fan and a Comcast customer, I would be pursuing an alternate outlet now.
See,
Just to have a parachute in the event. If I had to have Cubs games, and as of this, you're right, there's a long way to go.
We got a lot of time here.
But I would still be looking into it. I would want to be ready to go well before the first pitch is thrown in anger.
Yeah, I mean, so February 22nd is the launch of the network. That's the next deadline, right? Do you have an agreement when the network goes on the air? That's the next deadline. Then you could say a spring training game. But then opening day, if we get to the middle of March, second, third week of March, and they're not on Xfinity, then it'll be leading every show. Crane will be doing a lot of interviews. it will be a very big story if we get into the middle part of March and they're not on Comcast yet. Do we have Rakan? Is that ready to go, or it should be soon? Okay, well, because I think Sox fans are going to want to hear what Rakan had to say today ahead of Sox Fest. It is putting the bar where I think a lot of Sox fans have been waiting for it to be put for a long, long time. Plus, if you missed Michael Kopech, we're going to bring you back a chunk of that. And we have to start gambling. We're not investing.
Yes, we're gambling on the Super Bowl.
All right,
and
good.
I have the mother of all malaprops I ingested earlier today. And that's no other way to say it. I ingested this misspeak. Oh, is it rich?
Cannot wait. McNeil and Parker's on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.